Good morning and welcome to the Roundtable Panel, The Week in Review. I'm Sarah LaDuc, the producer of the Roundtable on WAMC. Each weekday morning, WAMC's president and CEO and political observer Alan Chartok and Roundtable host Joe Donahue are joined by various experts, journalists, educators, and commentators to discuss current events. On Roundtable Panel, The Week in Review, we feature your favorite panelists discussing the most important issues of the week. On Monday, July 19th, Joe and Alan were joined by Bard Center for Civic Engagement Senior Fellow and Dean of the School of Continuing Education at the American University Cairo, Jim Ketterer, political consultant and lobbyist Libby Post, and Albany Law School Professor and Director of the Immigration Law Clinic, Sarah Rogerson.
It was a fairly busy news weekend, a lot going on. A lot of the conversation, I don't know about you folks, that I was hearing over the weekend was really about COVID and about where we stand as far as the concerns with the Delta variant and the unvaccinated. So these were concerns, they are concerns, they remain concerns. We are seeing an uptick in all places, all 50 states, but especially in, southern states, red states primarily, but we are seeing it here in New York. We're seeing it in other states as well. And the concern is twofold. One is the Delta variant, which is wreaking havoc not only here but all around the world. UK lifted all of their restrictions, even as their prime minister is now in quarantine and a lockdown. I think it's fair to say he didn't do willingly. More was sort of shamed into it, but still. And
didn't he have it already?
He had COVID, yes, exposed. Thank you very much to it. So you don't give it to anybody else. They pulled him out, as it were, because that is what the rules, the UK rules are, and many people in the country thought that the prime minister should follow the rules.
As my Aunt Ruth would say, I see.
So there's that. And then there also in this country, we're seeing cases where people who have been vaccinated are also coming down and are getting COVID. So that is of great concern. And all of this comes to a much larger issue, which is, what do we do for the fall? What do we do about kids going back to school? And how do we get the information of what we should be doing? And here's the key, will anybody listen to it? And how do you enforce it? All of those great questions I bring to the panel this morning in one big soup of COVID issues. And I think that as you look at internationally of where we are, and I think I have the numbers correct, 13% of the population of Japan has been vaccinated, 13%, and in 4 days we will be starting the Olympics in Tokyo, Japan, and we are already seeing in this village where vaccination, in the Olympic Village, where vaccination is voluntary, that somewhere between 75% and 80% of the athletes and those there have been vaccinated. The rest have not. And as a result, we're seeing a large number of people who have come down with the coronavirus. Alan.
How do you spell stupid? I mean, people who don't get this vaccination are not thinking. We know from all of the results, I think the number I saw, correct me, panel, if I'm wrong, was 96% of the people who are getting infected with COVID did not get the vaccination.
Correct.
96%. That's huge. Now, if you know you could possibly die from not taking the shot, how in the world, and I can't figure this out in my own limited capacity, how in the world do you manage not to do it? Is it political? So we know that in the Republican states, people are not getting the shots the way they are in some places like where I live in Massachusetts or in New York. So I just can't understand what's going on.
You know, Libby, if you look at New York State, the Empire State, our numbers of being fully vaccinated, meaning getting two shots, fully vaccinated, I believe is 53%, 53.8%. I realize this is somewhat unfair, but that's half. That means that you're doing around 50%. So that's still, I mean, that's pretty bad if you think about it.
Yes, it is pretty bad. And one would think that as New Yorkers, we'd have more of a grip and faith in public health and what people who are in public health are telling us. I mean, it could be, you know, that there are still folks waiting for their second shots. And all of that sort of stuff, because that does factor into that just over 50%. But I'm waiting for the CDC to no longer consider these vaccines as emergencies, mm-hmm. but as real life. I just tried to look up however it is that they delineate, you know, like the measles vaccine or the chickenpox vaccine or rubella, and then it can be mandated. I mean, from my perspective, the IOC should have mandated.
International Olympic
vaccination.
Committee. Yes.
Right. The Olympic Committee should have mandated vaccinations for every athlete. You know, they mandate all these other things, but not that.
Yeah, they tell you what you can't have in your system, but.
Right, but yeah. not about that. So, you know, I think that there are the folks who are vaccine hesitant and. You know, we need to have community leaders speaking out, which I think in Albany, you see that in Albany County, we have these ads running with diverse community leaders saying, don't be hesitant. But people just need to get a grip that this is real and people have died and everyone needs to be vaccinated. I agree. It's like, how many ways can you spell stupid or ignorant? However you want to put it.
Stupid is easier to spell.
Yes.
The U.S. Surgeon General, Vivek Murthy, said Sunday that he supported individual counties reinstating mask mandates to combat local surges of the coronavirus among unvaccinated people, like Los Angeles County did last week, as the pathogen's highly contagious Delta variant drives a spike in infections, and the Biden administration seeks to project a sense of cautious optimism about the country's return to normalcy. It's very reasonable for counties to take more mitigation measures like the mask rules you see coming out in L.A., and I anticipate that this will happen in other parts of the country as well. Murthy said that local orders are consistent with federal guidelines that permit local authorities to require prevention measures. Jim Ketterer.
So while we're talking about Americans deciding not to get the vaccine, you know, the virus knows no borders, and we really do need to think globally about this. Maybe in the immediate sense, we're thinking about local communities. But if we don't get a handle on this globally, it's really just going to continue to be a worse and worse problem. And so if you look across, I was just looking at the figures this morning across Africa, many of these countries have 1%, 2%, 3%, or 4% vaccine rates. This is not because of hesitancy. This is because of availability. They just are not there. They're not available. Pfizer and Moderna, we know, have to be chilled at a level that is just logistically very difficult to do. The J&J is not available in many places in Africa, certainly not in Egypt that I'm familiar with. And so, you know, people are choosing to just kind of wait it out. And, you know, you see here some really, really heartbreaking cases. So if you just imagine the way the Delta variant is ripping through a lot of societies that have that low level of vaccination, and now you add on to the fact that people are starting to travel again. It's not just to the Olympics, but, you know, you see planes are really filled up. This is a recipe for disaster. And so I think the United States and other countries need to not only tend to the issue at home, but at the same time be addressing how to manage the logistics to get vaccines at a higher rate out across the world, and particularly to those places that are most vulnerable, places where the public health infrastructure is not going to save you if you get desperately ill.
Sarah,
no, that's okay.
Yeah, I'm worried about kids. You know, right. I have two kids that are not vaccine eligible. They still live constantly in the fear of contracting the disease, despite our best efforts to reassure them that and to take all necessary precautions. I also read in the Times, I think, a couple weeks back, teenagers are having to fight their parents to gain access to the vaccine for parents who are saying they don't want their children vaccinated. Mm. And it creates a public education crisis in addition and on top of a public health crisis, which we've already been through a difficult year. And when folks aren't doing, when they aren't honoring community values and looking out for the most vulnerable, it has a ripple effect and creates an extended crisis that, again, is going to impact mental health and other issues for the kids. There is the balance between privacy. You know, there's a reason why the Olympic Committee regulates what you put in your body, because there's free will and you have choice, and they have a decision to make about gatekeeping folks' individual choices. Mandating a vaccine is different because it overrides that choice, right? And so there is a tension there. But what we're missing in the conversation is the idea of how do we take care of each other? And that was present early on before we had a vaccine, in terms of flatten the curve, mitigating factors, things we can do, we look out for each other. That's all out the window. It's like, how do I get to Cancun? How do I get back to a normal life for me?
Yeah. This from Senator Rand Paul, who over the weekend was calling for legislation that would ban masks, especially on public transportation, saying, quote, "The federal government forcing the American people to continue to wear a mask despite the fact that we've already reached herd immunity is ridiculous and needs to end immediately."
Oh, brother.
And saying that any federal requirement related to COVID-19 that an individual wear a face mask when utilizing any conveyance or transportation hub is against our civil rights.
Shame.
Okay.
I truly don't understand.
Calls himself a doctor. The real accrediting organization is the American Board of Medical Specialties and Ophthalmology, and he started his own national board or something like that.
Yes.
He started his own National Board of Ophthalmology. Because I'm not sure why, other than, you know, he didn't like what the standards the other doctors were. But he withdrew from the American Board of Ophthalmology.
And then he did let the other...
It's a little strange.
And then he let his own board dissolve in 2000 as his political career started to take off. Is that the word?
So you got to wonder.
All right. Let's go to some letters here, and we will talk about other issues brought up by our letter writers. John says, if a vaccine is 90% effective, this means that 10 vaccinated people out of 100 will still catch COVID, especially with this Delta variant. Correct. Right? I mean, it doesn't mean it will happen, but it could happen.
And as I understand it, less likely to be hospitalized.
Right.
Would you rather have 90% effective or 50% effective?
Right.
You know, see my point here?
Yeah. I mean, if you're not vaccinated. Well, and it's even higher if you're not vaccinated at all. I mean, it's, yeah. Okay. We go to Mary. Now is not the time to make nicey-nice with Republicans and talking heads who place party power, profit, and their precious, a lot of alliteration there, delusional propaganda over our survival. Biden's COVID and climate initiatives aren't strong enough, but even they are being blocked by the GOP. One that succumbed to industry propaganda and climate change in the 1990s, too, has since had its remaining brains sucked out by delusional madmen, and three is getting vaccinated while pushing that madman's anti-vaccine bull. If Biden can end the pandemic and reverse the climate disaster by executive orders, he should do it as soon as possible. If we wait for the unlikely event that the GOP will regain some semblance of sanity, many, many more of us will die from COVID, as well as in climate-related fires, floods, storms, heat domes, et cetera, et cetera. Alan.
Well, I can't disagree with that. I would warn, of course, that the Republicans have the Senate 50-50. With one vote, and to some degree, you have to deal with them. You have no choice. While I certainly agree with the letter writer about the severity of this and what has to happen and what Biden has to do, let's remember that we live in a political reality which demands that the Democrats deal with and that Biden deals with these people, as disgusting as it may seem.
But I think that's not the entirety of the people who are not vaccinated. I mean, there is this political component, but we also have other people who have been against many different vaccines, preceding COVID, preceding Trump, preceding all of that, just anti-vaccination, they're unlikely to change their minds on this.
By the way, do you know why? Because I don't. But
I don't know why either, but I know.
I think we disconnected somehow. I meant in the Congress, the Democrats had to deal with them. But the fact that we have so many people in this country who are willing to face death as opposed to do what's right and take a simple shot is beyond me. I cannot figure it out.
Well, I can tell you that this morning I was flipping around on the radio, old school radio, turning the dial, just to see what else was going on. And I heard another host saying, if you happen to get COVID, go home for a few days, take a couple of aspirin. You're not going to die. That's a direct quote. And I think that that is outrageous. It's wrong. And then said, you know, you might have an underlying condition and maybe you'll be in bigger trouble, in a very kind of casual way, as if that's their problem. Yeah, the amount of purposeful disinformation is really astounding and reprehensible. But it's not all political. We do have other groups of people who are not getting vaccinated for reasons aside from the politics. And then the question is, how do you convince them to get vaccinated? It's not going to happen with just finger wagging.
Well, can you explain the politics of it? I mean, that's the thing that bothers me the most. I mean, you know, the Reds are basically saying, you know, no mask, no COVID vaccine. I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't get it either. And for people who are flying a flag that says "Don't tread on me," then they want to be angry at people who have made the decision to get a vaccine and to wear a mask. They want to tread on them. So there is a great deal of hypocrisy afoot.
You know, the president of the United States, Joe Biden, over the weekend came under some fire for blaming social media companies, saying that they are killing people by allowing misinformation to spread. But this would be the misinformation that you just spoke of, that you heard on the radio program and is being espoused by conservative outlets. I don't know exactly what you do about that because the information is out there. And if you're vaccine hesitant and you have whatever news source that you trust is telling you that you shouldn't do this, just take aspirin and call me in the morning, then how do you fight that? And not to oversimplify this, but relatively half the people in this country are doing exactly that.
Yeah, I think we need a behavioral psychologist. We need Dan Kahneman or some of our best minds who are able to manipulate people into buying things. Not Dan Kahneman, but you know, behavioral economics as a field. There needs to be some sort of, you know, behavioral public policy, the ways to incentivize and create norms that are shared among large swaths of people. And I think it the pandemic hit at just the right moment to spread because we're not talking to each other. We're not learning from each other. We're demonizing each other. I was explaining during the break that I've been reading a lot of Hannah Arendt's philosophy. And she's experiencing a resurgence. And this is a Jewish woman, survivor of the Holocaust, who speaks a lot about, you know, when we're not listening to each other, when we're not learning from each other, then it's really easy. She talks about the banality of evil. It's very easy for people to just sort of default into this. Well, you know, I'm a good person generally. I just don't want to take this shot. And it's instead we need to focus the conversation on what happens when people make individual choices that lead to mass atrocities. This is a mass atrocity. The number of deaths that we've experienced from COVID is stunning. And no matter how many visualizations, people put flags on the lawn, right, in D.C. We've tried. Artists have tried to visualize this for people, and it's not sinking in because of how callous and divided and hateful we've become towards one another.
Sarah Rogerson on the Roundtable Panel on Monday, July 19th. We'll be back with more Roundtable Panel The Week in Review after this. Welcome back to the Roundtable Panel, The Week in Review. I'm Sarah LaDuke. On Tuesday, July 20th, Joe Donahue and Alan Chartok welcomed The Empire Report's J.P. Miller, best-selling author and counterterrorism expert Malcolm Nance, Sarah Rogerson joined us again, and former associate editor of The Times Union, Mike Spain.
Let's talk about the virus headwinds hitting Wall Street after months of being fairly stable. This was a story that we talked about a little bit yesterday because it was happening as we spoke. And at some point yesterday, the Dow was down almost 800 points while we were on the air. Fear jolted the financial markets on Monday as investors realized that the path to global economic recovery after the pandemic would be anything but straightforward. For months, investors had been behaving as if they expected a full, smooth rebound from COVID crisis. But January through June, stocks rose 14%, one of the best first-half performances since the late 1990s. But the virus's potential to upend life all over again caught up with investors as a spate of worrying news, in particular new outbreaks involving the highly contagious Delta variant among unvaccinated people, led to a big sell-off on Monday. The S&P 500 stock market index had its worst decline since May, sliding more than 2% during the day before closing down 1.6%. The Dow fell 2.1%, its biggest one-day loss. Europe's stocks 600 fell 2.3%. So this is something that is being felt around the world. The impact on COVID on the stock market isn't over yet, according to Lori Calcevina, of the head of U.S. equity strategy for RBC Capital Markets in New York. So there you go. Well, what do we make of this? This story, I mean, I think I've said this many, many times on this program when we're talking about these stories about Wall Street. I don't understand what spooks investors, but, you know, we've known about the Delta variant for a while. We've known about inflation for a while. So what happened yesterday to make it just tank?
Well, I think that the stock market really does not like uncertainty. Mm. And there is growing uncertainty about the Delta variant. I think that the Delta variant for the last couple of weeks has been something that people are looking at and nervous about. But we're now seeing increasing cases. I think this morning in the Capital Region, there was a headline in the Times Union saying that the cases in the Capital Region are up five times, 5X. And so I think the stock market's looking at this and investors are looking at this and saying, how is this going to affect how we go forward? Maybe hotel stocks are not as valuable as we thought they were. Maybe hotels won't rebound like we thought they were. Maybe airlines won't rebound like they thought they were. So it was focused on, although a lot of stocks were down, it was mostly focused on the tourism industry. Mm. And as soon as you get some momentum going downward halfway through the day, other people say, well, if it's going down, well, then I want to sell some too. Luckily, the market in pre-market right now is up, I think, 20 or so basis points, and hopefully it'll rebound. But I think that this is a harbinger for likely seeing more volatility in the stock market over the summer months as this Delta variant takes hold. And as we, you know, if you see California or New York start to implement mask mandates and talk about restrictions, there will definitely be repercussions in the market.
Well, we're already seeing that in Los Angeles. And, well, the sheriff doesn't say, but everyone else believes that that's the case. And so, yes, if it were to happen in New York or another major metropolitan center, what I don't quite understand, though, is then how does, like at the end of the day, everyone's like, oh, okay, it's all better now.
Well, we have learned, right, guys, that we have learned that what used to be considered to be horrendous, you know, an 800-point drop one time. I remember that. It was as if the world had ended. That's not the case anymore. Everybody says, ho-hum, you know, it'll be all right tomorrow. And already, you know, a couple hundred points come back. And the market is still doing extremely well, except that our controller here at WMC, the magnificent Jordan Yaxall, sends out a little thing every morning with where our accounts stand. And this morning, not so good. Well, so yeah, it makes me nervous.
I also think you have to look at it in context. It was a significant single day drop, but the market has been screaming since last spring when it went down significantly, and so down 2%, of course. People don't want a down 2% market, but in context, the market is still up on the year. It's still up significantly since last spring.
Well, and certain sectors gained, right? Again, we saw like an up in Etsy, and I immediately thought, are people crafting again? But it was the face masks.
Oh, face masks.
Because homemade face masks were...
They're all the rage. Yeah, that and puzzles. Yeah.
Kimberly Clark, which makes toilet paper, was also up yesterday.
Yep.
Yeah.
Malcolm, you were nodding. Anything you'd like to add to that?
No, I think all of these are very salient points. And like you said, last year, there's a big difference between a tiny little dip yesterday and the crash we had last year. So, you know, we have to look at it in perspective. And let me tell you something. I just came back from several weeks over in Europe. The Delta variant is not a joke. They're taking it seriously over there, even though they're quietly opening up. But the places where it's most prevalent are England, and other points where people came from the Indian subcontinent before they shut travel down from the Indian subcontinent. And I know that I was I actually tried to get through to Gibraltar just to go over for a day. That's England as far as Europe's concerned. And they were like, there's no way you're going in there because that's Delta variant country. And they're deathly afraid that it's really going to explode in Europe and they're going to have to go back to their shutdowns and everything. Same here. The places where we know these variants are taking off are the places that don't believe in coronavirus. And what do they say? 98.8% of all deaths are unvaccinated people. So they're, you know, I think St. Louis, is that where the big
Missouri.
I recall Missouri literally thumbing their nose at the entire thing. I wouldn't be surprised if Iowa, you know, goes down in a blaze of glory again. They just don't believe this thing's true. It's politics, and it's literally killing their constituents.
You know, one of the things, Mike, about the UK is that yesterday was supposed to be Freedom Day. I guess it was Freedom Day. They still called it that, and they lifted the mandates, and yet the numbers are really bad. The prime minister is in quarantine, and meanwhile, in the United States, they're warning people traveling to the UK.
Yeah, as Malcolm said, I think that they take it seriously and they're taking the necessary steps. So the image on Freedom Day coming out of the UK is Boris Johnson wearing a mask. You know, it's still, this is not over, folks, and we have to take it seriously. And what I guess, you know, you try to follow the science, but it's we're getting a little bit of confusion about why people who are vaccinated need to wear masks, but I guess because, as we've learned from the Olympics and some of the athletes, you can still get it after you've been vaccinated.
And we still don't really have an answer to that question of if you can pass it to.
Right.
And also the concern, which very little is known, but what other variants are out there or being created, especially in these areas in the southern part of the United States and other parts of the world where there are so many unvaccinated people.
They're actually talking about a Lambda variant that's out there now.
Yeah.
It's a new, more virulent version of Delta. I mean, it's you know, the virus is a thing. How can I put it? It's the ultimate Mother Nature's weapon. It is changing itself to go after the thing that it wants most, which is a human host.
How did it start?
The Earth is more than capable of doing things to us, you know, so we don't have to go around making things. So it's natural.
Also making news while we are speaking is the fact that Jeff Bezos blasted into space a Tuesday. I believe it was an 11-minute flight. It has landed in Texas, in Van Horn, Texas, and the three occupants of the craft are just emerging now. It is his brother. There's also an 18-year-old from the Netherlands and an 82-year-old aviation pioneer from Texas who are on board, in addition to Jeff Bezos, of course, of Amazon fame. So we'll probably be talking about that more, but I just wanted to let you know that
that was happening as we were speaking as well. So let's go back to the Delta variant and what we make of this. The letters are coming in on this subject. And William says, the question for me is, do Republicans need to see large numbers of their cohort start dying before they take it seriously? Will it take the tragic death of a growing number of children or enough children in Republican states and districts before the idea of vaccination and masks are accepted? Where is the tipping point? It seems to me that the increasing likelihood of new variants and their impact on the unvaccinated may be the only thing that shifts the tide or not.
Depends on what Trump says. I mean, you know, if he puts the word in that we're not going to, you know, do anything to mitigate this, then, you know, anything could happen.
Well, politically, isn't it something that the Trumpers or the Republicans who support Trump want to see? They want to see the economy go sour, and they want to see chaos during the Biden administration. It's advantageous. They can blame it all on Biden that way when the midterms roll around next year.
Sarah?
It seems like a self-defeating prophecy, but I think you're right. And or not prophecy, but a self-defeating strategy. And it's not just children, right? It's the vulnerable, people among us, and it's vulnerable relatives of those people who ascribe to that same mentality that Mike is describing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they lose loved ones. And if they do, then they can blame it on Biden. It's perplexing.
JP?
I thought it was significant that White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki yesterday said that they would welcome a public service announcement from President Trump. And I guess I'm not amazed, but Trump has a huge opportunity right now to go to those places in person, and he could hold a rally, and they could be doing vaccines there. And I bet Joe Biden would join hands with Trump in trying to get people to get vaccinated in those places where Trump is popular. Mm. But he refuses to do anything about it. You're seeing Fox News. There was a story this morning that Fox News has a vaccine program at their or a vaccine passport program in their office while their talking heads are bringing into question the vaccine. So it's a crazy thing that that there isn't more encouragement from that side of the aisle to get their people to be vaccinated. It's amazing phenomenon.
I mean, Malcolm, we were talking about this yesterday on the show, but when you look at it, I mean, no matter what measure you use, fully vaccinated, we're somewhere around 50%. And that means half the population isn't vaccinated, which, I don't know, that doesn't just seem that great to me.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's knocking down the virus in major urban areas and in major states, even though we're seeing that little flash out in California. You know, but we can clearly quantify now by the people who are dying that if you are not vaccinated and you get this thing, you are going to die or be incapacitated. I was reading something yesterday, a couple of comments from a woman who said that she actually has a form of neuropathy that comes from this, you know, 6 months after she had COVID. Then, this is interesting, once she got vaccinated, it went away. You know, I mean, this is for our own good. I served in the armed forces for 20 years, you guys know that. And way back in the day, when I went through boot camp, the first thing they did was they put you all in line. They made you lift your left shoulder, and they gave you, you know, the five different types of shot, measles, mumps, rubella, plus. And then they actually literally gave us long stainless steel syringes full of penicillin, just in case we had any other types of diseases that were unmentionable, just to clear it up. There was no asking if we wanted to do this, right? This was mandatory for the health of the force. We're having now, because the FDA hasn't fully approved it, people who are saying they're in the armed forces, they're not going to take this thing. Look, I was given experimental drugs in the first Gulf War that probably caused Gulf War syndrome. You know, I was smart enough not to take them because we didn't find any chemical weapons, so why take it? But the point is that there is something here now, people.
Anyone else have that experience on the panel?
No.
Okay, just checking.
You know, but there is something here, and it's killing people. But we have a class of politician now And you know, I really wish Trump could say something. He won't. His ego won't allow him to help other people. He's a sociopath.
No, his politics won't. It's not his ego.
His ego is his politics.
His politics. Well, okay.
You know, yeah. I mean, and right now, he went and had his vaccine secretly in January.
In January, yeah.
Right? And so did virtually everybody else. Sean Hannity last night came on television with a disclaimer that clearly came from the Fox News legal office, which if you watch it is hilarious, saying, you know, this is serious, this is real, get vaccinated, and then went on and brought a woman in claiming that she had been, you know, received a disease from taking a vaccine. Well, they didn't tell her that that was a completely different vaccine and a completely different disease that she had had genetically. It's laughable what's happening out there, but it's killing our neighbors. So go get vaccinated, for God's sake.
The one thing that I don't agree with you on this, okay. Malcolm, is I don't think it's laughable. You know, you say it's laughable.
To make your point,
all of these people who are not taking it are at great risk. We know that 96% of the people who have developed the disease are unvaccinated. It's incredible. And still they won't move.
And where are they getting their information from? You know, I was really impressed that Joe Biden called out Facebook this weekend. Mm-hmm. That when Facebook finds out that you are questioning the vaccine, they push anti-vaccine messages into your phone so that you keep reading and keep reading. They had an article on Robert F. Kennedy Jr. today, so it's not just the right. I know it's the vast majority is Trump and Fox News pushing this, but Facebook needs to somehow be held to account for pushing this stuff.
The part of that story that amused me was after Biden made that accusation over the weekend, the head of ethical standards at Facebook came out in response. That to me is very funny.
Well, I think what they said was we find it hilarious that they're critiquing us when just last week privately they praised us for our efforts to get out positive information. Maybe it was a different article that I read, but that's not an effective response from a company that we know. I think they're just having a hard time tweaking the algorithm, and they don't want to take responsibility for it because that's what it all is. It's an AI.
ATM. It's money. Tweaking the algorithm means that they hemorrhage cash.
Yeah.
So, you know, the way that they work hand in hand with the government of China to turn over people and to suppress freedom of speech, they're working hand in hand with people that are making them an enormous quantity of money. And they're not going to do it for the good of America. They're a business. They are the modern version of the tobacco industry. But now it's disinformation that sells, and misinformation moves their algorithm.
100%.
I mean, I've been studying this. Certainly, I've written four books now, and you know, three of which were that are about how their disinformation networks propagate, you know, actually radicalize people who are out to kill other Americans, Americans who are killing other Americans. If there's another Oklahoma City, Facebook won't take any responsibility for it whatsoever. They'll just say, oh, well, we took him off our platform. Yeah, well, I saw a mass murder committed on Facebook live stream a couple of years ago from New Zealand, live.
Let me get to this letter, and then we'll take a break, and we'll continue our conversation with our panel here. Robert writes, the stock market is of little consequence. It rises and falls like the sea. What trumps all that is the realignment of the weather patterns earthwide. The multiple fronts and forms of destruction coming will shut the Republicans down. We must hold on to our hats and push for a green solution while the band plays on.
Good letter.
Yeah. Good, a good depressing letter.
We haven't even talked about climate change and the deniers of that.
Mike Spain on the Roundtable panel on Tuesday, July 20th. Please note as you listen, any given topics, details, and facts may have changed and evolved since the panels took place live earlier in the week. We'll be back with more Roundtable Panel the Week in Review after this. Welcome back to the Roundtable Panel, The Week in Review. On Thursday's Roundtable Panel, Alan Chartok and Joe Donahue welcomed Cohoes City Director of Operations Teresa Bourgeois, Siena College Professor of Comparative Politics Vera Acarius-Kelly, and Vice President for Editorial Development at the New York State Press Association, Judy Patrick.
We've been discussing this throughout the week, and it's a big issue, so we'll talk about how the White House is now involved in the issue of masking. White House officials are debating a masking push as COVID infections spike. Top White House aides and the Biden administration officials are debating whether they should urge vaccinated Americans to wear masks in more settings as the Delta variant causes spikes in coronavirus infections across the country. The talks are in a preliminary phase, and their result could be as simple as new messaging from top White House officials. But some of the talks include officials at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, who are separately examining whether to update their masking guidance, according to a Biden administration aide and a federal health official. Officials cautioned that any new formal guidance would have to come from the CDC, and they maintain that the White House has taken a hands-off approach with the agency to ensure they are not interfering with the work of scientists. But the high-level discussions reflect rising concerns across the administration about the threat of the Delta variant and a renewed focus on what measures may need to be introduced to slow its spread. Alan Chartok.
Well, I'm doing whatever they tell me because I like my life. I like being alive. I like, and if the experts are telling me to wear a mask, I'm going to wear a mask, right? So whatever you guys want to do is fine by me, but I think the main thing is to follow the instructions that we get. My problem is that sometimes the CDC is somewhat convoluted in what they're telling us to do. The one important thing is that we have learned is that, it is absolutely imperative that we do what will save our lives.
It's an interesting point, really, because I think that the White House saying this and having this debate and saying, well, it's up to the CDC to make the final call, yet they have a lot on the line, of course, and they say they are going to take a hands-off approach. I don't know. Should that be a more hands-on approach, Judy?
I think the messaging is terrible in this case. There, you've got the White House saying we're taking a hands-off approach, but we're talking about it. So they're clearly at CDC. They're feeling some pressure to look again at their mask mandate. You know, it follows what happened in the spring when the CDC just all of a sudden said, "Oh, you don't have to wear your mask if you've been fully vaccinated."
All done.
It came out of nowhere, and people were kind of stunned by it. And I think the White House is reacting to that. But again, when Alan's looking for someone, an expert to follow, do you listen to the White House or do you listen to the CDC? And what if it's conflicting?
Yeah. And it does seem to be, well, not conflicting yet, but it does seem to be all over the place because you get this message of, you know, we're opening up and things are good and everything is fine. And yet we see this. I know the media is being taken to task for blowing this out of proportion, but a staggering increase. I would call 195% increase staggering. I understand that because the numbers were so low, that if you have two people who were sick and now you have four people that's sick, that percentage is very high. However, we're looking at five days ago, 20,000 cases, then there were 40,000 cases, and now there are 60,000 cases. So that seems... go ahead, Alan.
And remember, it all starts with one. That's all.
That's right.
We once had no cases. Then we had one case, and then you saw what happened.
And you know roughly, we also know that that Europe seems to lead the way, that with the Delta variant, we see what is happening across Europe. And in addition to that, and we kind of lag behind. Mm-hmm. And so that's another issue as well. Vera.
So I was thinking, you know, the news out of the UK was particularly bad, right? Because they have an incredible spread rate.
Freedom Day sucked.
Freedom Day was the beginning of, you know, major spreading among vaccinated and unvaccinated, because those that are vaccinated actually might not know that they're infected and spread it. at an incredibly high rate. And now, you know, they're talking about this app that they have in the UK that pings every time somebody crosses your path who's a COVID carrier or Delta variant carrier. And apparently it's Ping Nation, from what I understand.
Now, see, we have something similar in this country, and yet mine has never done anything. I don't know how that works, but go ahead.
So I just wanted to say we should just watch the debacle about to unfold in the UK, and then we know how it will likely happen to, you know, how it will likely develop in some of the southern states and then affect us in the fall here, because our immunization rates are not that great either. They're reasonable, but not that great. And so it'll really devastate some unexpecting communities or communities who didn't take this seriously, particularly in some rural communities.
Teresa, you help run a city.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the points that I think is interesting is when you look at the Capital District across the state of New York, our numbers are the worst.
The worst, right. Mm. The number that I think we need to pay attention to is people infected with the Delta variant appear to carry a viral load that is 1,000 times higher than earlier versions of the virus, I'm reading from the story, mm-hmm. and can easily spread it, particularly among the unvaccinated, experts say. I mean, that's a data point. To me, this feels like the first 2 weeks of March of 2020.
It does.
When there was a lot, all the experts were saying, look at the data, and people hadn't caught up to the reality of the data. And in my view, I think we're having this conversation framed the way it is now because, unfortunately, last year, the issue of wear a mask, not wear a mask, became politicized. If it hadn't been politicized, it wouldn't be such a big deal. You know, you cut your finger, you put on a Band-Aid. It's cold, you put on a jacket. If it's smoggy outside or if the Delta variant is rising at this rapid rate, you put on a mask. It shouldn't be that big of a deal. But it's been politicized. Now, as to the White House, and the CDC, they pledged that they would follow the science. And so the fact that they are saying we're going to listen to the CDC and follow the science, then people are criticizing them because they're not striking out on their own. Well, if you want them to follow the science, if you're critical of the previous White House for not following the science, you can't criticize these guys for following the science. But just follow some common sense, folks. Put on a mask. It's not hard. It's before there was a vaccine, the best protection people had was a mask, and that's still the best thing. It's not hard to wear a mask in a group setting. Put on a mask.
So the rules are you have to wear a mask if you're unvaccinated. So I would assume that in Washington County, 100% of people are vaccinated because whenever I go to the store, the convenience store, 100% of those people are not wearing masks.
But when I go into a store, I do wear a mask, and I think people must think that I'm not vaccinated. I am vaccinated, but I don't care because I think it's for myself and for anyone else.
Well, you don't protect yourself with your mask. You protect others.
Right.
Well, I think you're kind.
Thing.
You're kind to do
but
that.
In other countries, my friend who's from China, they wear masks if they have colds.
Yeah.
They wear masks if it's smoggy. Why has it become such a thing? Wear a mask.
Can you answer your question?
Because it was politicized last year, and it's a political issue, not a basic
health issue.
Vera was a little chilly today. She put on a jacket in here, right? So, if you're a little concerned if it's smoggy, put on a mask.
You know, I went to a shopping center yesterday, and I was wearing my mask, and I've been wearing my mask pretty regularly. And that point where I think the people that I was speaking to, this is all very anecdotal, but the people I was speaking to with masks on are all paranoid people like me. Yeah. They're not people who are unvaccinated. The people I talk to who have masks on are all vaccinated.
Yeah, true.
They're just scared. And I think although I did see many more people wearing masks yesterday than I had in let's say 2 weeks ago.
I think this is breaking through. And also there was interesting discussion I read sometime in the last few days about the fact that people are concerned about new variants and emerging variants.
Right.
Well, the way you stop emergent variants is you stop the spread. The spread is what,
it allows them to rev up.
So if people would just wear masks, then you wouldn't have this increase in the number of variants. It's not a hard thing to do.
The White House has said they're going to try to keep a hands-off approach, let the CDC handle it. We've been talking about that. Teresa, is that possible? And if the Biden administration says, okay, well, it's up to the CDC, let them figure it out, and we're not going to take, we don't want it to hurt us politically, how damaging is that? Or are they thinking it would be helpful to the president come midterms and reelection?
Well, I'm not sure it's the White House that's politicizing it or if it's being framed. You know, what I'm concerned about is I see a Washington Post story that seems that they're framing this in political terms, not health terms. It seems that the Biden administration has been trying to do the right thing from a health perspective. And presumably, I don't want to be Pollyannish about it, they know that if they do the right thing from the health perspective, it should help them politically. But they're not framing the information politically, whereas the Washington Post, their story, two paragraphs really jumped out at me and concerned me. They say, a return to a recommendation of more masking or a shift in White House messaging that urges Americans to wear face coverings in more situations would be a blow to the President Biden's efforts to convince Americans that the virus is in retreat. Success against the virus is a message that Biden hopes to use in 2022 midterm elections to help his party retain control of the House and Senate. Well, that's the Post framing this in a political way as opposed to from a health perspective way, because of it's not a blow to President Biden's efforts to convince Americans that the virus is in retreat if, in fact, it's coming back. So if it is coming back, then the Biden administration, if they're following the data, following the science, should, of course, talk about the fact that it's coming back and now take these precautions to lower that. And if they're successful in that messaging, then they should be successful in the election. But they shouldn't be silent about the rise in rates to protect themselves politically. We saw that with the last administration, and it was a deadly decision.
But I learned from the other guy, from the guy on the other side of my headphones, Alan, that all things are political, right? I mean, Alan, so I mean, how do they not think of this as political if President Biden comes into office and says, we're going to take this seriously, we're going to do the best we can, and then you see the numbers go up and there's concerns about the efficacy of the vaccine as well as masking, that hurts him, right?
It does. It's so interesting to see people like, of all people, Mitch McConnell and some of his subservient people come out and say, we have to be very careful. Everybody has to get the shot. So it is political. They are playing it like you play a chess game. In each case, there are people sitting around a table in the White House and say, if they do this, then we do that. It really is that simple. Now, there are those who will argue that it's all about health. Yeah. And it is. But on the other hand, it really is much more than that. It is, a way in which you are playing your message to the American people and hoping that they'll buy it. I'm fascinated by the McConnell thing, by the way, Joe, because, it just means, okay, we are going to take some dissonance here with the past president. And that, for those guys, especially if, like McConnell, right. I think somebody said he had a 13% approval rating, in the country, especially for somebody like that, you better believe that they're real worried about where this is going.
Yeah.
But Alan, and maybe you're saying this, but I think that for those Republicans who are now apparently reading the really bad polls and switching and saying get vaccinated,
yeah.
The Democrats...
sorry to interrupt, but the polls or the health data or both?
No, I think that I've read repeatedly that all of a sudden the Republicans, some key Republicans are making a shift in their language over the last few days in that they're reading polls that say that this anti-vax message is not being flippant about being vaccinated is not working for them. So, but I think that Democrats and everybody should say, great, don't castigate them for finally doing the right thing. Embrace them, because the way you're going to control this virus is if the message is get vaccinated. And so if they want to join the get vaccinated bandwagon, even though they're late, even though it might be for political reasons, embrace that, because ultimately Biden will prevail and the Democrats will prevail if they can help control this virus. And that's being honest about it and getting everybody to join in the chorus, get vaccinated, wear a mask.
Journalists would be remiss if they ignored the political aspects of this, because they are enormous. I mean, the politics has driven the anti-mask sentiment, the anti-vaccination sentiment, and the Biden administration itself would be remiss if it was ignoring the politics of it. I obviously think that, you know, the CDC needs to be absolutely clear of politics, but that's why the White House has gotten involved in this. And analyzing what this means to the White House, or what it potentially could mean to his reelection or to the midterm election, is important at this point, because it helps inform the electorate about what may happen. I think it's also important to point out that Steve Scalise was against vaccination for a long, long time and has just recently, you know, seen the light. Mitch McConnell was a polio survivor. Obviously, he believes in the importance of vaccination. There have been a few Republicans that have come round and seen the light. A few people on Fox News have seen the light as well, but we're still having a lot of anti-vaccination sentiment out there among Fox News analysts, among mainstream Republicans. I mean, they're not even helping the vaccination efforts, even when they've been vaccinated themselves.
But when somebody is finally going to do the right thing by saying get vaccinated, you have to give them room to do the right thing.
Yeah, but you don't ignore the facts that they, I mean, it's not, there's nothing wrong with pointing out, hey, why were you silent for so long? I mean,
Or worse, right. How come hundreds of thousands of people are dead in this country?
The Post saying it is a blow to President Biden's efforts to convince Americans that the virus is in retreat if he starts saying wear a mask.
It could very well be.
That shouldn't be framed that way, because
But what if it's true?
What do you mean, what if it's true?
What if it is a blow to his...
But isn't his... He should be judged on how he successfully uses his megaphone,
Alan,
and
this
uses
is when
the science
you say...
to contain the virus. And if the way to contain the virus is to start saying, okay, things are going off track because not enough people get vaccinated, we're going to have to go back to mask wearing.
But this is how we started the story, or this conversation, right? We discussed the fact that the CDC and the White House do not have a unified message, and that what has to happen now. If we want a public health, successful public health message, and the White House wants to send a message to all residents, citizens, members of the society that is essential to be vaccinated, they have to work on that real quick now, because the disparate messaging between the White House and the CDC is undermining the public health campaign and could weaken Biden's reelection campaign.
But you can do two things at once. You say be vaccinated and you say wear a mask.
Well, they should.
Right.
They should. And that has to be reinforced now, because I think they have stayed with the vaccination message in the White House, and now they're sort of, they give a bit too much wiggle room for the masking policy, especially in the fall.
But why would the Post say that if Biden starts saying wear a mask, it's a blow to his efforts?
Teresa Bourgeois on the Roundtable panel on Thursday, July 22nd. Full episodes of the Roundtable panel are available online at wamc.org/roundtable. This has been this week's Roundtable panel, The Week in Review. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Thank you for listening.